Hey, Eric Bischoff here, and if you're looking for the inside scoop, all of the information, look no further than the Ringside Podcast.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Still sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
I'm JK.
He is JK, and he is back, ladies and gentlemen, back.
After 2 long months, I finally came back.
Well, has it been 2 months?
I don't think so.
I think that
he thinks that we've had more episodes than we had, but it's the summer season.
Yeah.
We've had a little bit of, you know, we like to go on vacations. We like to hang out with our girlfriends, or JK likes to sit in his room and play games. Whatever you like is you. So we've had a couple weeks off, but now we're back and we got a lot to talk about today.
We do have a lot to talk about. We have, I don't know why, but do I sound okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it just seems weird on my end.
You must have fixed something because normally you don't.
So we got a lot to talk about. Yes, we got, since we've had the show, of course, shout out once again to OVW Gladiator Sports Network for having us on at the Combine and everything that happened there. More and more to come from that. So appreciate Jay Bradley, Josh Ashcraft, Dr. Man Beast, and then Chad Miller as well. So
Chad's always an awesome interview. Like, we just had him a couple weeks ago, and it was different. He just keeps breaking so much news. That's what I like. That's what I love about him. Just every time he comes on, he drops a bomb. So
yeah. Absolutely. But it was, a good time, good stuff going on. So once again, shout out to them. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Since we are the official podcast, Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW, we are going to have some simulcast, or is that the right word, or networking partnerships with some other podcasts that were there, some shows.
Joint ventures, if you will.
Can Crushers podcast is a good podcast. They're also sponsors of Ohio Valley Wrestling too, as well. So,
yeah, that dude was hilarious.
Yeah. So
the other guy wasn't. I'm not really sure who he is, but
one guy was funny, one guy wasn't. That's two different podcasts. Can Crushers is funny.
That's true.
Maybe the final count is not. But all right.
Dang, so, just call him out.
I'm sorry.
No, shout out to him. I was just joking.
You say he wasn't funny. Doesn't mean he wasn't trying to be. It'd be different if he was trying to be funny.
No, he was good, dude. I was just messing with him. Yeah. And I didn't expect you to call out his podcast name. But anyway, it was awesome. The Combine, it was like, poor JK, he couldn't go to that. He was stuck covering our local baseball team on its road to Omaha. But
Omaha.
But it was such a great experience. It was like, obviously, it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was definitely definitely something different.
Did either of you try that combine when you were there?
No.
No? Why not?
Because we were working. We were getting interviews.
You could have done like a small combine tour.
I mean, I
would have if I was there.
I had to referee a couple matches in the ring later.
That's close enough, Daniel.
I'm just saying.
I was just there to do interviews.
I'm not trying to slam you down. I'm just saying, you know, at least you did something in the combine.
Oh, all right. Let's not go there because I don't know if we want to open that bag, Edge.
Speaking of Can Crushers,
Edge and Becky and Beth and Seth. All right. So, yes, a lot has happened in the world of wrestling here lately. We've got, you got AEW making their debut.
Yeah.
Which great show, Double or Nothing.
It was a good show. I liked it.
You've got
was not great, in my opinion, but it was good. It was good for a it was great for a non WWE product.
I was very sports edit. No, I'm not gonna say that. No.
Are we gonna go into this now, or are you just gonna hit like a timeline? Okay.
So we've had, you know, two WWE pay per views, Money in the Bank and Super Showdown. With addition to Raw and SmackDown in between, and NXT TakeOver and all that too.
Another stellar take. I mean, are they capable of putting on a TakeOver that's not entertaining?
How about Battle of Super Juniors in New Japan?
That too.
That as well.
And Dominion, which happened last night.
Yeah, this morning.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that too. And Impact TV tapings have stepped up the game, and, you know, it's just amazing time to be a professional wrestling fan.
It really is.
Or a sports entertainment fan, either way you like to say.
Well, and I would be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, the great Saturday night special at OVW we had a couple weeks ago that we haven't even reviewed since we've been on last. It's just like you said, it's a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling right now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So before we get into all that, let's talk about one very close thing to my heart. And that is because I'm wearing the shirt. Collar and Elbow. That's right. CollarandElbowBrand.com. When you go to Collar and Elbow Brand, use promo code Ringside, all capital letters. You save 10% and you help the Ringside podcast out in the process. CollarandElbowBrand.com, the best wrestling apparel today. They got some great new summer merchandise out there. They got the Stars and Stripes Collar and Elbow shirt. You got the Lightning Bolt, the Lucha. Just go there and buy everything. But use promo code Ringside.
If you follow either myself or JK or Daniel Spencer on Facebook, you'll also notice that we have a new t-shirt model for the site, which is I'm fine with. So go there and see the products actually being worn, or you can go to collarandelbow.com check it out.
With all due respect to Collar and Elbow, are we not going to plug Omaha Steaks on this podcast?
Omaha. All right.
So, shout out to Talk is Jericho.
Yeah,
sure. Shout out to Talk is Jericho and Mr. Moxley.
And Omaha Steaks.
I almost pulled the trigger and got that Father's Day special.
Yeah, what was it? Like $240 for like $60 or something like that?
It was something like that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We'll let him plug that. He gets paid for it. We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet.
We'll let the pain maker decide what he wants to do on his podcast.
Correct.
And shout out to, maybe we was going to talk about this in a minute, but we'll just do it now. OVW, what they're doing as far as TV shows. Go to the OVW Network, by the way, guys. You're going to see future Ringside podcast on that as well. Different things in coming up in the fruition. Fruition? Is that the right word? Yeah.
No.
What's the right word? Coming up in the...
In the future.
Future? Oh, okay.
Fruition is when you speak something into existence.
In the meantime, in between time.
Yeah, well...
These things have already been done. These are already conquered.
Well, yeah. But I said other shows. Okay. One show.
So other shows will be coming into fruition.
Technically, I was saying that, right?
Okay.
What about the show we're having in Fort Knox?
Yes. Yes. But real quick, OVWWrestlingNetwork.com.tv, $4.99 is all it costs. And you get all the exclusive content of OVW. Anyways, so yeah, the Fort Knox show coming up this week. On the birthday of the Army's birthday, June 14th. It's going to be an awesome show. It's free for all military and veterans, and then only $5 for civilians. But if you want to come to the show, make sure you get there early enough to get your pass. It's very simple. They'll give you a pass through, and maybe they won't. Depends on who you are, I guess. But most people should be able to get a pass. And $5, you can't beat that for a show. You got Crimson and Jax on. You know, you got the Mike Hayes, you got Justin Smooth, the OVW heavyweight champion, Justin Smooth, women's champion Megan Bain. Like, come on, you got, there's a lot.
Shout out to her for you know, just, I'm sure we all follow her on social media, and her hard work and her drive has, just to give her a quick shout out real quick, it was well deserved for her to capture the OVW champion, women's championship on her birthday at Saturday Night Special. She's working really hard. So, but yeah.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely. So yeah, shout out to that and come there, hit us up if you want tickets. And it's going to be streaming live on TV. For those who are not there, breaking news. It's going to be live on WBNA 21.
Awesome.
And on the OVW Wrestling Network. So if you can't make it to the local area before the show, you can just watch it live when it's happening. So pretty awesome. All right, guys. So let's break this down.
Where do we begin?
Well, we got to begin with probably the biggest independent show of the last 20 years, Double or Nothing.
We don't have to, but I guess we're going to.
I guess we're going to. Yeah. For me, like I said, I give this a 4-star. I'll give this 4 stars. A lot of people right after the event happened, I want to say overreacted and was like, "Oh, this is the best pay-per-view ever." Da, 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 da. For me though,
I didn't hear the best pay-per-view ever.
Go to Steve Rummage's timeline. He retweeted multiple people because I said I thought it was good, not great. I thought there was double there, but I also thought there was a lot of nothing. But there was more double than nothing. But for me, I think a lot of those people were excited because they hadn't seen those guys wrestle before. Those guys have been on the wrestling. If you watched any of the Ring of Honor New Japan crossover shows last year, you saw a lot of those same people wrestling. And so you take that aside. For those of us that watch wrestling all the time,
so
that was
so what
awesome,
you're saying,
and we
what
saw it before.
So what you're saying is, I think somebody on this show made a claim a couple of years ago that what you're saying is there's people that don't watch nothing but maybe TV, like WWE TV, like American TV wrestling, and then that they didn't see a lot of these wrestlers before, and they see them for the first time, even though they've been around forever. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right.
Interesting.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the comment that you claim that if you watched WWE, you would know who anybody else was. Billions of people, you said, I believe.
No, I didn't say billions. I said millions of people watch WWE and don't.
But there are billions of people on this planet.
There are.
Right.
So it stands to reason that a billion people could theoretically watch professional wrestling.
Correct.
Right, but I don't think that's true.
But for a lot of people, that was the first time they saw Kenny Omega and Jericho, or not Jericho, but versus Jericho. They've wrestled before, right?
This is like the fourth time.
Okay. So they're like, oh my God, or Jack Evans and Helico. They've wrestled in Lucha Underground. Amazing talents. First time they saw them. If you watch everything like I do, you've seen Ring of Honor. You watched the Young Bucks pretty much take over the tag team division for the last few years. So for me, the casual the hardcore wrestling fan, I thought it was a great show. I thought it may be the second best pay-per-view overall this year. But for somebody that just tuned in, I could see how they thought that was just the best thing since sliced bread. For me, like I said, there was a lot of double, but there was a lot of nothing.
Yeah, I was blown away by just the overall presentation of the show. Like,
yeah,
everything about Double or Nothing was just like produced differently. Like, you didn't have the like jump camera shots.
It reminded me a lot of WCW Nitro.
Yeah, it's good you brought that up because they even had the AEW logo in the middle of the ring,
yeah,
which was, I believe, a staple of WCW back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Like Jeremy said, I mean, it's not going to be the show of the year. It's not going to be like the greatest show ever, but it's a damn good show. Like, if you somehow haven't watched it yet, I mean, just how different everything felt. I, for one, thought the pre-show Battle Royal was really, really underrated. A lot of the guys in that match, I actually saw for the first time, like Ace Romero, Jungle Boy.
Then admittedly, you don't watch a lot of Ring of Honor then, correct? Would that be safe to say?
I try to watch as much as I can, but
fair enough.
You know, there's some guys in that Battle Royal that I'd never seen before. Like, I'd seen, you know, Joey Janela, Hangman Page, Brian Pillman Jr., but guys like Jungle Boy, Orange Cassidy, you know, they stole the show for me in some aspects. Same with Kylie Rae. You know, I hadn't seen a lot of her matches, but the women's match was great.
And according to Cody Rose, she's real.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't mean to interrupt you, and this may be a hot take, and it's not intended as that. I think that Cody versus Dustin should have been the main event. That is the best storytelling and most heart I've seen in a wrestling match in a long, long 100%. Time.
I'm going to disagree.
You always do.
only on that should have been the main event. Here's why. Number one, we see what happened in the main event.
Yeah, but okay, I'm gonna let you talk. I'm sorry.
And going off like that brought in buzz. That's the only reason why. It's not the Jericho and Omega match was any better, because
I thought it was just as good. I thought the match was just as good. And this is going to sound like another hot take. And I know what Daniel's going to say. Absolutely, for me, having Moxley come out after that match was over took away from the greatness of that match. You did not need that to happen then. Save him for your first week of TV. Bring him in earlier in the night. He's not a top-tier star. He is a middle-tier star. It would be like if Zack Ryder, which I love greatly, if he would have showed up at AEW.
Dean Ambrose was at when he was under the name of Dean Ambrose, he was at the top of the WWE in the Shield.
When? He only held the heavyweight title one time, and it was for like 30 seconds.
He was still a top
name in a company.
He was a top face and name in the company.
He was the mid-carder.
No, he was not.
Seth and Roman were 1,000%.
He made a event with Jericho the Blue Chippers. He made a event with Kevin Owens.
Name me one pay-per-view he main evented where he was the main event.
Shield Triple Threat?
Yeah.
Right, he had to have other people. I'm talking about by himself.
Well,
AJ Styles.
There's always somebody in the ring with him.
No. I'm talking about not in a non-tag team. To me, and it's not even, I know you're like, man, you're letting your hate for Dean. No, I never consider, even though he had the one, like, for example, I love Kofi Kingston. He's not a main event guy. Ever since he's won the title, it doesn't feel like he's the heavyweight champion, if that makes sense. To me, anyway, and y'all know I'm a big Kofi Mania, running wild, brother. But, to me, that would have had the same. If Kofi would have showed up at this event, it would have held a similar impact. No pun intended. For me, Dean Ambrose is not on Randy Orton's level.
Okay,
Dean Ambrose is not on.
Let's go back to 1994.
Roman Reigns level.
Let's go back to 1994. Okay. What happened in 1994? What caused the big buzz for WCW Monday Nitro in 1994?
Lex Luger showed up on the first episode of Nitro.
Was Lex Luger main eventing?
No, he wasn't.
No, he's not. It was the buzz.
It also wasn't that big of a deal to me at the time.
Buzz.
Exactly. I agree with Daniel, because the moment that Moxley arrived after the match, the place went wild. Social media just went crazy.
Oh, it did.
Jim Ross sold it like a champ, like he always does. They went nuts, and everybody, are you kidding me? He's here. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, let's address that, too. I'm glad we're hitting all of my sensitive spots or hot spots. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's here. You would have to be the dumbest SOB on the earth or the most ignorant. Ever since he dropped that video at midnight of his release date, with all the AEW clues in the video, everybody has known he was going to show up in AEW. Actually, there was one hint in there where the date of the pay-per-view was marked on the wall in chalk. Who was surprised? Nobody was surprised. But yet everybody in that arena was like, I can't believe it.
Everyone thought CM Punk was showing up too, and he didn't.
It's pro wrestling. Misdirections happen all the time.
So you didn't think he was going to be there?
Not necessarily, but it wasn't okay. The first time.
You didn't think he was going
to
be there?
I wanted to see if he was going to really show up.
I knew he was going to be there. You knew he was going to be there. They showed like the logo for Double or Nothing at the end of his video.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. They showed the little dice on the back. Was it of his jacket or was it on the?
It was on the wall. The
graffiti on the wall. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be a complete moron outside of this room, evidently, to not have known he was going to be there. One of the reasons I purchased the let me get to this too real quick. I ordered through the Bleacher Report Live app. It was awesome. I watched it while I was working that night. It's still on my phone. I have a lifetime purchase of it and I can watch it anytime. Or there was a glitch, or whatever the case may be, I could turn it on today and watch it.
And that just got cut off when this aired.
Yeah, they're like, what, that set up a gun? But no, I don't want to come off sounding like I didn't like the event. I just don't think that it was necessary for him to come out at that moment. Because to me, I'm sitting there like, oh my God, Jericho Omega, that was awesome. Maybe he's not going to show up. Even though there was enough time, I knew something was going to happen. I was like, all right, he's still going to come out, but hopefully he won't, because that will diminish for me So you, the great so match that I just watched.
After the match, you were thinking, well, I hope he doesn't come out. How would you think he was coming out at that point? The match because is over. The show's over.
That's when they... How many takeovers have you watched and somebody's come out after the little ribbon showed up in the bottom corner?
We're not talking about WWE. We're talking about AEW.
I wasn't either. I was talking about NXT.
No. Anyway.
I'm just saying, in professional wrestling, that's when you knew, as a wrestling fan, this is when it's going to happen. But I like what they did overall. But I just think they should have saved Moxley for the first week of TV. You think that was crazy?
No.
What would have the first episode of AEW Wednesday Nitro, I know that's not going to be the name of it, how would that have left wrestling fans if he'd have showed up either at the beginning or the end of that?
There's still surprises to be taken in that time frame. He's bringing the buzz right now to build up him, Jericho, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. All this is the buzz to build up to the All Out show that's going to lead into the TV show. So it's smart to bring him in now. If you bring him in later.
I didn't say it wasn't smart. I just said for me, it was like maybe that should have happened before the main event.
No, it can't. It has to happen at the end.
It has to leave you hanging.
It has to be in a main event because other than Chris Jericho, Moxley would be the guy that most people recognize
And that's why Cody and Dustin couldn't be in the main event because that's not the angle. They're not using Moxley at the angle.
Plus, it's Chris Jericho in the main event.
I get that part. I'm just saying, for me, it was just like, okay, you just took me feeling really great about this pay-per-view, and you ended it with some entrance ramp antics. I just didn't like it. Y'all can like it. That's fine. I didn't like it.
Well, then don't watch the product.
Because I didn't like the last 15 seconds of it, I shouldn't watch the product.
That's what.
So you can have your opinion, but I'm not allowed to have my opinion.
No,
okay.
I didn't say that.
Hitler.
I just made a comment. You complained so much about something.
I actually didn't complain. I am laying out, unlike you, I'm laying out an educated thought process of what I did like and what I didn't like, and I'm not trying to sell this the greatest pay-per-view ever.
I'm not really trying to name drop, but I'm going to do what Al Snow would do. I'm going to sit here. If you say that, why?
I'm not
why
trying
would
to name
you,
drop.
Hold on. No. Why?
Yeah, that's all I do.
When someone asks him a question about a promote, you know, we should do it this way, he looks at him and goes, why? So tell me why you would use John Moxley before the main event and how it would work. Tell me.
I didn't say I would use him before the main event. I said I would save him for the first TV.
Why?
Because that would create if he was out of the spotlight, if he hadn't shown, okay, devil's advocate. If he hadn't, if you were the one person in the world that thought he wasn't going to show up, JK, then, okay, he don't show up. And you're like, oh, crap, I really thought he was going to AEW. Where's he going to be at? Shows up in New Japan the next week. Does this, that. You want to talk about bringing buzz, and then he unexpectedly shows up on the first week of TV? For me, even though I was not a Dean Ambrose wasn't even a Dean Ambrose fan. But I like what I've saw from him since then as far as what he said and what he's done in the ring. But for me, just as a casual wrestling fan, I'd be like, holy crap, I thought he was going to be at Double or Nothing. He wasn't. Where is he going to show up? And then he shows up in New Japan, and then you automatically just assume, all right, he's a New Japan guy. I guess we got tricked. And then he shows up the first week of TV, and everybody's mind's blown.
That's a fair guess, but you know, this is why I guess Moxley had to show up when he did. This was the first show for AEW, really, Double or Nothing. You got to end it on a very palpable buzz, and this was the biggest guy available. I mean, yeah, they got Sean Spears.
But,
and all due respect to Sean Spears, but Dean Ambrose is a former WWE champion. He's been at the top of the mountain. And they don't have to just build a TV. They have to build to Fighter Fest. They have to build for Fight for the Fallen.
I think the rest of the program did that, though.
Okay, but
it did,
but you have to, here's the problem with your reasoning for that. I get what you're saying about holding him off and letting him jump into Japan, but then you've lost buzz because now he's wrestling somewhere else, and you've seen him as John Moxley. So when he shows up at AEW, it doesn't have as much impact as it does before.
Exactly. So you got to strike while the iron's hot.
I don't agree with it. I think that you have successfully at that point, you don't bring him in then, you've successfully fooled, including me, the entire wrestling community into thinking, oh, he's went to New Japan instead. And then he shows up at AEW and it's like, oh my God, he's jumped ship.
It takes away part of the buzz. You've seen him already. Now he's,
you've seen him already anyway. He's been wrestling in the WWE for the last 8 years.
You haven't seen John Moxley. You've seen Dean Ambrose. But what about, okay, let's go back to, you know, there's a possibility they're doing that with somebody right now. They're leading Buzz, and all of a sudden, this guy would just magically appear at All Out.
See, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I think everybody.
Why not?
Well, I think everybody's doing what they always do. Oh, it's in Chicago. It's like last year, wasn't it All In Chicago?
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be there too, wasn't he?
He was in Chicago.
According to the marks, he was supposed to show up.
Let me ask
you. And they're using the uneducated wrestling fan is who I'm really against here, because they're like, oh my God, they use CM Punk stars. No, CM Punk, those are the official stars.
That's the official
on the flag of Chicago.
Yes.
CM Punk uses those. They're using it on there for a double entendre. They're like, all right, we're using this because it's in Chicago, but then people will think it's CM Punk as well, which I commend them for that. I love that. I don't know. He probably does show up.
Can we do a mid-show pipe bomb on CM Punk?
Go ahead.
So, you know, I observe social media a lot in terms of wrestling fans, and, you know, I'm not trying to slam the IWC because we are both in that community, so to speak.
Correct.
But I feel like the whole thing with fans wanting CM Punk back in wrestling, like, why are fans just simply unable to
move on,
let sleeping dogs lie, whatever the case may be. You know, it should be okay that CM Punk is retired from wrestling. It should be okay that he's happy doing what he's doing, commentating MMA events, doing signings, yada, yada. Some people are just simply content with retiring and living happy lives for the rest of their days. And, you know, Punk's not a spring chicken anymore. He's like around 40, 41 years old. And at this point, he's been out of the ring.
You can still be a spring chicken at 40 years old.
Yeah. Shout out to AJ Styles. But, you know, he's been retired for what, 5 years now?
It's been a while. I'm not sure it's been nearly five, but it's been a little while.
So what good would a comeback do for him at this point?
Well, considering he didn't leave the business because he didn't love it anymore, would be one of the reasons. He left it because he felt like he was being wronged, and everything that he felt was wrong in WWE is right about AEW. So that could do it.
And don't get me wrong, I'm on record for saying I'm probably one of the biggest CM Punk fans in the world. But, you know, I would totally be okay if CM Punk just never steps in a wrestling ring again, because it would be better to go out on his own terms than stay in the ring longer than he should have and risk, you know, permanent injury or something else going catastrophically wrong with him.
Well, we have spent a lot of time on this topic, but as much time as we've spent on this, I think we're going to make up for it later when we talk about Super Showdown. So what we got?
You want an actual hot take?
Yes.
Jericho versus Omega, nor Cody versus Dustin was the best match at Double or Nothing.
Okay, turn his mic off.
It was the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks.
To me, they were all equal. They were all great.
They're all great matches, but that was my personal favorite match of the night.
But again, that was the first time a lot of people had saw the Lucha Brothers. They hadn't been watching Impact, or they hadn't been watching Lucha Underground.
But I don't think the problem with that match is that was a indie, let's see, I'm trying to think of a word that's very PG.
All-star match?
I'll just say it. An indie climax moment for the fans. Because that's all it was a spot fest.
Sometimes it's okay to have those. If you have something a little different
I'm not saying it's not good to have. I'm saying in his saying that it was the best match because of that reason. It's a spot fest. It didn't tell a story.
You're right.
Dustin and Cody was a better match because it told a story and there was emotion there. Although Earl Hebner, I look at it. I'm sorry, Earl. I love you. You're one of the best, but dude, you got to. I think he's lost it because he was so spotty in that match. Sorry, I just look at I watch refs like
so.
Crazy.
You referee in OVW for almost a year, and now all of a sudden you're the messiah of referee and wrestling. No, what we really should have done, we should have had a separate Double or Nothing episode because we've talked about it so much, and we should have rated every match either double or nothing. Because I think
that's a fantastic idea.
I think those three matches were double, And there was the other ones you could argue.
I'm not saying the Young Bucks match wasn't great, because it was. I'm just saying it wasn't better than the other two, because the other two had storytelling.
Yeah, I could hear an argument for that. Like I rated all three of them like a 4.25, but
I mean,
once you put it that way, I could knock them down to a 4.
I wouldn't say the other matches besides those three were quote nothing.
Well, no, I don't mean they were nothing. I just mean they weren't double.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy the women's match, and
I didn't either.
I felt anticlimactic was who was it? The Super Smash Brothers, you know, taking out Angelico and Jack Evans.
Yeah, that was stupid. I just think that was nothing.
With the women's match, it just seemed like they were trying to give you too much at one time. Forced. That's the only thing I did. But they all did a great job. I'm not knocking the match. It's just
You mean the women's four-way. Yeah. Okay, I thought you were talking about the other one. No, I actually enjoyed the women's four-way, so I'm going to take it back.
You mean the tag team?
Yeah.
That was okay, too.
The women's four-way, but you're right. The women's four-way, that's when I knew we were talking about two different things. You're like, felt like everybody was rushing and stuff, because that one did feel a little bit rushed. I would give that match.
The tag match?
The tag match I thought was just a complete... I'm not going to disrespect anybody. I didn't enjoy it at all.
There's something that happened with production. I don't know if that was planned or not, but they were thinking that they counted three, but yet they didn't. And I was like, you know.
The Fatal 4-Way to me, though, the women's match, that was loved the surprise. The surprises were good. Bret Hart, are you kidding me? Did anybody think that was going to happen?
That was pretty cool.
And Awesome Kong, that was good.
I figured DDP would make it appearance, yeah. You know, like.
Yeah, I did too. And Awesome Kong, that was a good, but it did. You're 100% right this time for once. That match felt rushed. It felt like everybody was just trying to get in there. Go ahead, say it, JK.
Well, I was going
to
say.
They were trying to get in their what?
Trying to get in their shit.
There you go. And it just felt rushed for me. So, but it wasn't nothing. So that would have been one I'd have stayed neutral on. That wouldn't have been double or nothing.
Just one final thought before we move on here. For AEW, you know, I think the short term, they got to focus on two things. Number one, they got to build up the women's division, and I understand like it's still like in its infancy stage.
Yeah.
You're at a good start with Dr. Britt Baker and Kylie Rae, but you know,
which we saw Dr. Britt Baker at NXT Takeover the next weekend.
AEW Takeover, baby. But they got to build up the women's division, sign a couple more people, and you know, just. Be on the lookout, see if Revival and Sasha Banks are ready to go into free agency.
I think the Revival will. I think Sasha's going to stay. I think we'll see her really soon.
# make tag team wrestling great again.
All right, so let's get into a little what do you want to jump? Let's just do it. Let's just jump straight into WWE and all the stuff that's happened in the last few weeks.
Super SHIT down? I mean showdown? I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I have the other foreign pay-per-views that they've had the last 2 years. It literally was my least favorite. And the Undertaker Goldberg, I think it was an attempted assassination on both sides.
Unfortunate words.
It really is. I'm sorry. That actually is very culturally insensitive. I did not mean it that way. They did both accidentally almost paralyze each other. Actually... Let's talk about that. Undertaker delivering that tomb. Did that not look...
Can we just talk about... Hold on.
Okay.
Let's talk about Money in the Bank first.
I got excited. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about Money in the Bank first.
All right. Go ahead.
What did you think about the overall pay-per-view Money in the Bank?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I liked the... The only thing I didn't really care... Again, it was the very end. Why spend all these weeks building up the story on TV just to have somebody that was gone come back in and win it? Win the Money in the Bank. I did not like that fact. But over the rest of the pay per view was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was pretty good.
It was a good Money in the Bank pay per view. Are we in agreement that Bayley winning it was the right call?
Yes, and her cashing in was that, even better call.
That revived her character
Well. Yes, at the time, no. But now, overall, hindsight being 2020, yes. At the time, I still think a heel girl should have had it and not cashed in and held on to it, because the 2 years in a row now, that's been the gimmick. They've each cashed in. But I'm okay with it now because of the fact that how the Money in the Bank men's turned out. So totally 100% okay with her being the winner and cashing in now. But at the time, I was like, oh, my daughter was pumped up. But at the time, I was like, ah, Alexa should have got Mandy Rose should have had it. Should have been Mandy Rose's.
That yeah, but if Mandy Rose is going to get it, then Mandy Rose is going to lose with it. That would have been the outcome.
I agree. I'm still not all the way sold. I think Mandy Rose will be a star, but I'm not all the way sold on her yet. I'm not.
She needs a couple more.
Yeah, you are. No, he's not.
Mandy Rose just needs maybe one or two more years to develop.
Side note, does not need makeup. Just saying.
No.
No, I mean, I
know you follow her on Instagram. I do too.
No, I mean, I've seen her in person, like standing across from you. So.
I don't like the name drop, but I've seen her in person. You know, the week I worked for WWE.
And my goodness, is she pretty?
She's got pretty mouth.
Yes, yes, and yes. All right, so sorry, I can't. I guess I shouldn't really talk about her away since.
No, let's talk about you getting slammed by Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, well, I got beat up by Lars Sullivan.
That was the greatest part of Raw that week.
that's the
even
best.
Though it wasn't on TV
when we do it,
it was on TV.
It was, but you could not see who got chopped
off a skater.
Shoulder chop. Yeah, it was kind of like
day,
in the corner.
One day, when we have Lars on the show, we'll break down
we have our end of year show. That'll be my moment of the year. Nothing else will top that.
No.
All right,
maybe Jay Lee cropping him out of the picture. The No Way Jose conga line the next night. That was pretty cool, too.
The line leader.
Yeah.
But what's not awesome was Brock Lesnar winning Money in the Bank.
I didn't care for it. And I know Daniel was the opposite way.
I'm completely the opposite because it's perfect TV. It's perfect storytelling. It's perfect. And the fact that he has probably one of the best gimmicks he's ever had right now with his Brock party.
That's so stupid.
I love it.
I turned on Raw the next night to watch him doing the Running Man. I'm like, this guy has not shown an ounce of humanity in the 20 plus years since I met him the first time. Maybe not 20.
I love it.
And now he's up here beatboxing and break dancing.
You know I don't care for Brock Lesnar, so if I like it, then it did something.
Only like it because you asked us what we thought about it, and we said we hated it. Had we said, oh, man, that was awesome, you'd been like, it's the stupidest thing ever.
We hate the decision, but we love the boombox Brock movement.
I love the boombox in the bank.
The best shoot I saw of boombox Brock was the night after Money in the Bank. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase on his left or right shoulder, whatever. I don't know my directions.
Left.
Yes, left shoulder.
Left shoulder.
And somebody shooped Brass Monkey by Beastie Boys while he's bopping his head and all that. That's one of the best wrestling shoops I've ever seen.
Hey, this angle. Now, I will say what they've done the last 2 weeks leading up to Super Showdown, I wasn't a fan of.
No.
They shouldn't have like tried to make him cash in. I don't agree with that.
And what was up with the Stephanie announcement? Like, why?
I disagree with that. It doesn't make sense to me there.
What?
But I do. As long as they keep this whole Brock boombox movement thing, I'm okay with it. Because let's keep it going. I like that he goes, wait, I have a whole year to cash in?
Like he'd never watched WWE television before.
Well, in his defense, he doesn't.
Probably not.
Brock Lesnar continues to be the smartest man in the business.
But as we've said before, my biggest issue with that whole situation has always been the Money in the Bank used to be used to give a star the next level push. John Cena didn't need Money in the Bank. Brock Lesnar didn't need Money in the Bank. You know who didn't need Money in the Bank? Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Edge, CM Punk.
And guess what?
All those people needed it.
Okay, well, they needed it.
John and Brock didn't.
So
they could have got a heavyweight push.
Well, here's the way. But see, if you always give it to someone that needs it, then it becomes predictable.
No, because there's always seven people that might need it. I mean, every other person in that match, except for maybe one, could have won that, and you'd have been like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I could see him winning. I could see him going on."
Who else could have won?
Finn
Balor,
Ollie. McIntyre
was my pick. Who refresh my memory real quick because that was a couple weeks ago. Who all was in that match? I know Ollie was. Was Ollie, Cesaro in there?
McIntyre, Andrade, Lashley, Corbin.
The only one that I would have been okay with winning, right, is McIntyre, but he doesn't need it.
He needs something because he's not getting the push he deserves.
He's with Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
That's such good shit.
Are you not getting the push? You're with the boss. I don't understand.
Such good shit.
I love his Vince voice. I'm assuming that's what you're doing, right? I'm just playing.
I hope so.
He just admitted he's doing Vince. All right. So,
I knew it. No, I'm just kidding.
So, like, it. I don't. Like.
It was a good pay per view.
It was great. Yeah, it was a good pay per view. And I was okay with the ending. Y'all wasn't. I was happy with the ending. Now.
I was not very sports entertained.
Now, out of that came another angle storyline. New championship that has been the best thing in WWE in the last 2 months.
To be fair, when they announced the championship, we all yearned for a television title, correct?
Yeah.
For the most part.
TV title, maybe there was a rumor about a Legends title.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think a TV title would be the way to go.
However, a Legend, and hear me out here, I would have liked a Legends title just to get those guys out of the main events of the big pay-per-views. Defend it on the Saudi shows. Defend it in the Australia shows. Defend it on regular pay-per-views from time to time.
Right, right.
Keep those guys that – and they deserve it because they deserve to be in the main event of some of these matches because they're legends and they still work hard. So, anybody that could tell me that Triple H don't still work hard after everything he's doing, it just hates Triple H.
By the way, before we get to the show, but I love the right when they started chanting at the beginning, like a few minutes into the match, you still got it. Triple H smiles, smirks, looks at everybody, goes, I never lost it.
Yeah. Never lost it. But when they unveiled the title and the name of it, I was like, this, along with a lot of other people.
I'm so happy they brought back the European Championship. I tell you what. Now, the 24/7 title, like, it got a lot of boos and crazy with live. Mick Foley did a great thing keeping it up. But once it started, once it got going, it has been, and they couldn't have put it on a better person than R-Truth.
That's true. Why couldn't they have just named this like the social media championship or the internet championship? Or the
internet championship's already taken, son.
No, that's not an official. That's not a recognized title. I love Zack Ryder. If I started a wrestling promotion, he'd be one of the first 10 guys I drafted. But no, that's not an official WWE championship. If they're going to keep doing this thing where they show the under the ring title change.
That was hilarious.
The golf course title change. The airplane title change.
I love that.
Just make it the Twitter championship or social media something 24/7 sounds like a stupid name.
That's the premise of it.
So is the hardcore title.
But they can't call it the media champion, the social media champion, because it could happen in the middle of Monday Night
That
Raw,
is true. That is true.
Have it on the pay-per-view. Have it anywhere.
So then why not just name it the hardcore title?
Because you can't. They're not promoting hardcore. They're promoting 24/7 champion.
I love that the latest reign R-Truth has for his 24/7 title. It says he won at 39,000 feet above the Red Sea.
I mean, he's already got more championship reigns than Charlotte Flair.
Almost.
Almost.
I love the fact
that R-Truth is about to be the Crash Holly of the 24/7 division.
All right, turn my mic off. Or turn his mic off.
Crash Holly. I love Crash Holly. Rest in peace, bud. All right, so this has been the greatest, like, what R-Truth has done on social media. And then Drake Maverick, like, trying to find him. And now he's into the Taken thing. I'm telling you, it's... Hold on, you know what?
It's such good shit.
I'm telling you what, right now, let's just play this Taken video right now.
I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what you're trying to prove. If you are looking for money, I can tell you I don't have any. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for a sports entertainer like you. If you let that 24/7 championship go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will pin you.
Good luck, dog.
Oh, man, that's just good stuff. Good stuff.
You're not saying it right. Such good shit.
That's
it is.
You get stuff like that,
but here's
you get R-Truth doing the O-Town Road remake in like his parody version. It's great. Tell me you haven't heard this. So tell me you heard it.
No, Jeremy has an opinion about Old Town Road.
Yes, I've heard it. It's a song, and it happened. But I will admit this. I was completely down about it after night one, and this is an example of something changing your mind over the process of a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I do think it's one of the more entertaining things going on right now in WWE, but what does that say about the product as a whole, if that's the most entertaining thing that's going on? Don't look for the video. Don't play it. We don't need it. I'm just saying, what does that say about the product as a whole, if this kind of comedy act title is dominating? That is the most entertaining thing going on. I'm agreeing with you 1,000,000%. But what does that say as their product as a whole when that's the case?
I mean, it means the other stuff's got to step it up. Maybe they need to figure out who's booking this, who's aging this. Okay, how are we going to take this guy needs to be put in these angles or that angles to get the buzz on that? I mean, the greatest thing that happened in 3-4 years ago at Impact was the same kind of concept, but something off the wall, crazy, different with Matt Hardy in the whole broken gimmick. It was better than any of the product going on Impact.
Yeah, but it was legitimately entertaining though.
So is that
not?
Well, no. Let me rephrase that. It was the best thing. You're trying to get me in trouble, and I'm not going to fall for it. It was a great thing going on at a time when things weren't so great for the promotion it was in. See, I didn't name any promotion names, so you can't throw me under the bus. But this place has a ton of actually a lot of their stars are there now, and. Like, there's just so much more greatness that could be going on. I'm not trying to slam anybody in particular. I'm just saying,
and I think
everything. Seth Rollins should be in a meaningful feud. Samoa Joe should not be.
Well, let's speaking of Seth Rollins, let's talk about the Super Showdown. Okay.
Okay.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Damn it.
Because what I liked about his match against Baron Corbin is I love. I love the ref spot, and I love what's happening with that and that angle, that storyline, and I have a feeling it's going to turn into something else. And you have this old Brock thing behind, behind his or over his shoulder, but you have the angle between him and Baron is getting a little bit better, and I think it's going to go further. So he is in a decent storyline, and I'm what. You know how I used to feel about Baron Corbin, so somehow...
Used to? Your mind's changed? All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Wallman has left the chat.
Yeah, he's exited the game. Your opponent has left the game. All right. Why don't you should have did that before you turned the mic off.
Yeah, I should have, but I do things the way I do it. For me, he's taking Dean Ambrose's spot as the worst thing going on in WWE right now.
I would not say that personally, but...
You may not say that personally, but look how you woke up and decided to style your hair this morning. That was a choice.
It's a baseball haircut, dude.
All right. Anyways,
growing it out for the postseason, I dig it.
So yeah. you didn't like that match. All right, Brock coming.
No,
out.
No. I thought the match was entertaining. I'm just not a Corbin. I will not compromise my integrity.
What about the thing of Brock coming out to cash in and then they trip and fall and?
Yeah, I like that as well because for me, it was a foregone conclusion. There had been spoilers leaked. Brock's cashing in and. Winning and it was a swerve. I liked it.
Okay. All right. So
what I didn't like was two of my favorite wrestlers of all time almost killing each other in the middle of the ring.
All right, Dolph and Kofi. What about the title match?
I enjoyed it.
It was a good match, dead crowd.
Yes.
One thing
killed the whole show for me.
One
honestly.
Thing I did not like.
I'm sorry. Bad choice of words.
One thing I did not like. that did not like the fact that the babyface got a heel advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see an argument for that.
I'm a traditionalist on that, and I don't think that should have happened, because unless they're eventually turning a New Day heel, which they could be. You know, I don't think it's the right move, but it could be.
No, I feel like I know exactly where this Kofi Kingston reign is going to end.
All right, here we go. Now, for those of y'all who haven't listened to our show before, which, let's be honest, that's not many people out there, but we got our own version of Nostradamus that predicts a lot of stuff that happens. So you will see this on your WWE television in a while. So go ahead, JK. No pressure.
I don't know if this will actually happen, but...
If you say it, if you speak it into fruition, it will. That's just how the show works.
Do you really want me to say it, though?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, but don't slam me for this.
I'm not promising anything.
Okay, I respect your honesty. Shane McMahon is going to defeat Kofi Kingston for the WWE title at SummerSlam. See, as soon as I said it, I knew exactly Jeremy was going to react the way he did. He dropped his mic, he took his headphones off, he left the chat for all of 10 seconds.
I mean, Shane McMahon is...
No, he's not.
...best in the world. Shane!
We've spent more time on this pay-per-view than I thought we would.
Man!
That's exactly where it's going. Yeah, I mean, he already beat Roman Reigns.
And then what a swerve. Everyone thinks CM Punk's showing up at All Out. He shows up at SummerSlam. All right, I'm just playing.
There's got to be a let's just get for 1 second, and then we'll hop off, because this has already been a long show. And this is what happens when we take too much time off between episodes. We just have a plethora of things to speak on. But there's got to be a reason why they keep referencing this best in the world stuff, right? There's no way that they risk going to Chicago every time with a CM Punk chance, and if there's not something to it, right? Which one of you all thought that was? One of you all have been saying that they thought that's what was going to happen. Was it Daniel?
Yeah, okay. It was Daniel.
All right, that was one of the first times in the history of the show that I agreed with.
I challenged him to a bet at WrestleMania, and he walked it back.
Oh
no, because I gave an opinion thought. I didn't give a guarantee. Like,
okay,
he's making a guarantee. Like, Shane McMahon will be.
Yeah, but y'all made a bet, and he's saying that you reneged on him.
Yeah, you were saying that CM Punk would show up at WrestleMania. I challenged you to a bet where if whoever lost would eat a ghost pepper. And you reneged on that.
But I did eat a ghost pepper, all right? I ate one of the hottest peppers in the world already. So
we just he did the same thing with our bet about Woken and Broken, so...
What? No.
Just don't
you
make
lost
bets.
That bet there, pal.
I've learned not
you
to make
lost
any
that
bets.
Bet there, pal.
No, I didn't. Even yeah. He said that it's the same thing.
No, you lost that bet.
Just
there, pal.
What has this taught us? Never make a bet with Daniel, because he'll find a way to worm his way
I
out of it.
I said it was the same thing. I said he wasn't using his gimmick. You're the one that said he was, or whatever. Anyways,
no, it was the other way around. But that way you just said it had you winning the bet, so of course you thought that.
Anyways.
You said, no, Woken and Broken are two different things. Yes.
No.
Go back and listen to that whole entire... listen to every show we've ever had.
That wasn't what we were talking about. We were talking about Woken and Broken. We were.
That was the argument. You were saying, this is not the Broken gimmick. This is the Woken gimmick.
No, this is before Woken came about. He didn't become Woken until later. This is when he was in his... Him and Jeff were doing this thing, but he was still saying... You know, obsolete and all that stuff, and that's where
the bet was that Broken Matt would show up by the end of the year in WWE, and you said he wouldn't, and then when he showed up, you're like, "That's not Broken Matt, that's Woken Matt. I win the bet."
First of all, my finger wasn't that quite.
It was. Right. You looked like the first link guy. I got low prices, man.
Yeah, my finger pointing in the air. Look at all those prices, man.
I don't know who the hell you're pointing at. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do the wrong finger gesture that you normally do? So should I go from here to here? Your finger pose?
Yeah.
Look, we told a great... Real quick before we wrap up, I told a great joke to Steve. You came out. You know, Daniel... Daniel was backstage at SmackDown. Me and Steve and our families were sitting together. And he comes out, and he starts shaking people's hands in the stands. Like, people that didn't even have a freaking clue who you were. He came up and gave me and Steve a handshake. And we're like, hey, what's up, man? You know, he's kind of showing off. I would, too. I'm showing my clout off. I'm backstage. And then there's these kids standing in front of us, sitting in front of us.
They
and he shakes their hands, too.
And they go, hey, man. They wanted to high five, so I gave him
and
one.
And then he goes downstairs, and they turn around to me. They're like, Who's that guy? I was like, never met him before in my life. But the joke, that wasn't even the joke, and that was funny. The joke was, me and Steve assumed that you would be refereeing that night. And I said, you know what probably happened? And Steve's like, what? I said, they came in the room and they're like, who wants to ref this match? And Daniel, just out of pure instinct, was like, and y'all can't see that on, but did his little finger pose, duck face, and pointed to the person next to him. And they're like, all right, kid, you got the job tonight. And Daniel, oh, man. So it was a great night, though. But I don't, like I said, afterwards, I was like, yeah, I would have done the same thing. I'd have been going out and like making sure people saw that I was there and who I was hanging out with. So you did a really good job both nights.
All right. So I'm glad you had your fun, you know, at SmackDown.
I was proud of you.
Yeah. You had your fun, too. Let's not shy away from that.
No, I had a great time.
How about Peyton Royce complimenting your outfit, man?
They did.
Yeah, that's all I
heard. Iconic.
They thought it was iconic.
You do that a little too well. No, but yeah, it was a great time. But let's get back on task. We always
all
do
right,
this.
So let's talk.
What makes it great, though?
Back at the Super Showdown. Of course, we all know that where they're at is mostly a man's show. So, and there's a few of the superstars don't come and go there because of their stance on their religion and their beliefs or whatnot. So, it's great that they allow Renee Young to do commentary, which I'm still shocked that they've done it twice now.
They didn't do that the first time, though, did
yeah,
they?
No,
not the first show.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't do it the first
Renee,
time.
But Renee wasn't on commentary.
But she, on she Sweet was, Saudi Blood Money 2, she was there.
Gosh, dang it.
So, but as JK, tell us about what was going on behind the scenes. Who was politicking to get on the show?
Yeah, what got
not necessarily
axed.
Politicking.
No pun intended.
WWE was allegedly trying to get Natalya versus Alexa Bliss on the show. Which, if you're familiar with Saudi politics, you understand why that's such a big match to put on the card. It didn't happen, I don't believe.
I don't think it's so much to do with politics as it does with their culture. And this may be an unpopular statement that I'm about to say, and I will take the brunt of the heat. But it's... They actually are one of the only countries that still stand by their culture and their morals and their values. We as a country, forget about it, we're lost. But I'm not saying that I think it's right, but they still, like, at least they're not backing down and changing. That's their culture. Like, that's how things have been done. That's how they want to run their country. As long as they're giving WWE the money, they could tell WWE do whatever they want to.
I'm not surprised a match didn't happen, only because was it the last show that they aired a ad with Carmella in it? And was it like the Saudi royal family that wasn't really too fond on
no,
that?
No, they were
crowd?
Upset about it.
Yeah, they aired a woman's post show or something.
Which, I mean, if you're Daniel Bryan or Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, or any of the women in the show, I don't blame them for, you know, just taking a stand and deciding, I don't need this shit. I'll just stay home and rest up for a little bit.
I mean, you know, teacher's own as far as that goes. I mean,
the Saudi shows have sort of become a hot button topic because obviously Saudi is paying a lot of money for these shows.
A lot of money.
Yeah, like they're dumping money to WWE by the boats.
Wasn't it like a 10-year? $500 million?
Something like that. I know we discussed it
just
after
yeah,
the
when
last
it broke.
Saudi show.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had three shows, and honestly, neither of them have been even good at all.
What was the great? You had the
I didn't mind the great. I thought the Greatest Royal Rumble was okay with it. Was that?
Shout out to Titus O'Neil for not sliding this time.
The Greatest Royal Rumble was good only for the Royal Rumble match itself, but the rest of the show I really didn't care for.
And by the way, shout out to who they laid a home hometown, well, home country native representative win the greatest war.
Or yeah, it's funny.
The biggest battle royal, whatever.
Yeah, it's funny what money will do.
Yeah, we've had three shows. Neither of them have been great. I know WWE can't necessarily go back on the deal or cancel it, but
no, you can't because that's, you want to talk about $500 million? That could be your payroll for the next 10 years.
Exactly. That's a big reason why WWE is turning in like record profits.
Now, now if we could just get a little bit of the attitude era to come back. Well,
supposedly they're going back to that. But
honestly, that's what's called a segue, Daniel.
You know what? I'm not going to talk about the attitude era of bringing it back because honestly, there's another discussion. The attitude era wasn't as great as everybody thinks it is. We'll talk to that some other time. Anyways, from a wrestling standpoint, from a storytelling,
from an entertainment value, it was.
Anyways, back to the show. So let's talk about guys that were in the Attitude Era or someone that came out of the Attitude Era, and that is the man. No, I'm not talking about Becky Lynch. I'm talking about the one and only Paul Levesque, Triple H. So versus Randy Orton. Now, we've seen this match a million times. These guys have had this rival going up. They've had great storytelling, all this stuff, and we're going to see it maybe one last time. Who knows? But I will say this. You got two of probably the greatest wrestlers in the business wrestling in this match, and they did an old-fashioned wrestling match telling a story, slow build, and it was a great – that right there was the best match of the whole night, bar none.
It was okay. I didn't think it was
great. You don't think it was the best match of the night?
I do.
It was the best match, but I wouldn't write about it and say it was like a 4-star match or anything.
But it was your. But I'm not trying to say it was a 4-star because I'm not trying to get indie spots in it. What I'm stating is that it was.
No, it's far from that.
It was your Memphis style, old school storytelling, slow build, good heat, good comeback, finish match.
I mean, I would rate it like 3 stars. I'm, I guess, being generous. I just didn't really get into it that much.
Hmm. Jeremy?
This to me was kind of another one of those. I thought it was the best match of the night. I won't give it 4 stars. I'll give it probably 3.25, 3.5. But this was also kind of one of those that was like a shocker. It was like, oh, I mean, not because of talent wise, because Randy Orton is younger. He's a guy that I was shocked didn't head to AEW like it was rumored because I feel like he's being underutilized and has been for a while in WWE. But you kind of thought, okay, Triple H is going to win because it's Triple H and he only wrestles like twice a year, 3 times a year max. But I liked it. It wasn't a spot fest. There was a lot of history between the two, and I enjoyed it.
Okay. I mean, yeah. So, like I said, best match of the night. But it was definitely
better than the match we're about to talk about.
Let's talk about the only time these two people will clash. The first ever meeting of these two WCW's WWF legends, Goldberg versus Undertaker.
Thank God this is a once in a lifetime matchup. That's all I have to say about it. It was horrible. I love both of these guys. I think they both know it was horrible. If you saw the look on Undertaker's face at the end, he wasn't pleased. Goldberg has come out and said, "Man, I knocked myself out."
He got a concussion.
I apologize.
You could tell.
Yeah, but you have to commend somebody like that for getting injured and still finishing the game.
Well, okay.
But the ref should have been like, if we could notice it as fans, that ref. Not a dig on refs because I know you get a lady Kyoto's boner for them.
No, it's not Kyoto's fault on that. So here's Kyoto checks on him. If he can still go, he can still go.
Right.
Where now this shocks me with the Undertaker. Maybe there was some of this but when you have two veterans in the ring like Undertaker and supposedly Goldberg is that the match should have changed. They shouldn't have went for what they called or what they're doing. So they try to do that. They try to still finish, do every little spot they had, and it made it worse. They couldn't execute it. So they needed to change the match up. Yes, it would not have had the great, you would not have the jackhammer or the whatever or the tombstone and all this stuff. All those things you would not have had, but you would have had a they could have made a match entertaining, could have been safe for each other and not hurt himself, because both Undertaker and Goldberg about hurt each other on the head on their moves, because
they damn near paralyze each other.
Yeah.
I would go on record to say that the tombstone to Goldberg was more vicious looking than the one Stone Cold delivered to Owen that Owen delivered to Stone Cold that ended up messing his neck up. It looked like does that make sense what I'm saying? It looked like there was more impact. It looked more vicious. Not that it was on purpose. I'm not saying that, but it just looked, gosh, it was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, like Brian Alvarez and Meltzer, they were talking about this match on their show. And they're saying that like Goldberg was supposed to like tuck his neck in or something to sort of like minimize the impact. Did not do that one damn bit, supposedly.
Well,
what is that when he allegedly got his concussion?
No, supposedly he concussed himself when he went for the spear and dinged his head on the post.
Okay.
I think
that would have made sense.
I think the blood was supposed to happen because if you notice when he came out, he already had like a little cut on his head. So I think there was supposed to be a blood spot. But I think he hit the post. I think he legit hit the post and was supposed to just ram it and then go down and probably cut it and blade himself. But he literally hit it, then it caused him to, oh, crap, now I got a concussion. Because when I saw it, I was like, it was supposed to happen, but it wasn't supposed to be that.
Right.
Like that, you know, right. You could tell. It just, you know, I those guys, it's a good, what that match would be good for is to teach, like, say, the young guys at OVW, guys in NXT, let them watch and say, guys, when things don't go right, let's not worry about what was called. Mm-hmm. Let's worry about getting out of there safe.
You're right.
Who cares if you're in the main event? Who cares that you're dealing with these people? We can come back and give them another show or give them match two, you know, if you didn't like it. But let's make everybody safe and let's not kill each other. And that... And that's what should have happened. And granted, Taker's in there every 6 months or whatever, and Goldberg hasn't been in 2 years. So, you know, I get it.
Goldberg looked in great shape, though.
Oh, he's phenomenally in great shape. He's been doing a lot of, he's been on the show, the Goldbergs. He's been doing a lot of, he works out in MMA stuff like daily. And then I think he's in some movies coming up. So Goldberg's like constantly working. You know, he is in great shape, and I really would like to see another Goldberg run. I ain't gonna lie, I really would. I just don't put him in matches against the Taker. Put him in matches with younger talent to help build the younger talent. We don't need to put Taker over.
You know, I said this after Crown Jewel, which I'm on record on saying that was the worst pay-per-view of all time, and I'm not going to say that Super Showdown is the worst. Because there's some good stuff, but like the crowd was just really milquetoast for most everything that night.
Well, and one of the other things that I think, talking back to, when the match first started, and Goldberg was doing the spear, I know it's crazy, but I think if he picks up and jackhammers Taker right there and wins the match, that would have been the right call.
I would have been okay with it, but this highlights the problem that I've said WWE has constantly had, not just with Saudi shows, but in general. They're too over-reliant on older talent. Like, Crown Jewel, what was the main event? DX versus Brothers of Destruction. All four of those guys are hovering around 45 plus 50 years old. And I said the same thing there, and I'm going to say it again. These matches simply don't need to happen. Because what happens is moments like this where people get injured, they potentially risk their lives for our own entertainment, and we're thankful for it because, you know, they put their bodies on the line for our own entertainment, and I love The Undertaker, but these matches end up sullying the legacy of these guys because they're not what they used to be 20, 25 years ago. I understand that, you know, there's main event guys like Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, all of them boycotted the show. But they've got to do better than, you know, putting these guys in a main event spot. We could have had Finn versus Andrade in the main event, which was a good match.
Yeah.
We could have had Kofi versus Dolph in the main event. That was a good match. We could have had Seth versus Baron Corbin. And I'm not a Baron Corbin fan myself, but sometimes, like I said, we just have to let sleeping dogs lie. And I feel like I would be okay if Taker just simply walks away and never has another match, because I don't want to see him injure himself and end his career Sting.
I don't want to see him get hurt either. Real quick, what is his problem with Brock and with Goldberg? He's been talking stuff to both Brock. He put out a tweet last week that was like that feeling when they won't let you get into the arena to kick Brock Lesnar's butt.
I feel like the Brock Lesnar thing's a work.
That might be, but man, he put out this video right after the match happened and was like, Goldberg, you're the worst wrestler in the history of wrestling.
Goldberg blocked him.
Right.
And there was this whole little thing where he's like, ha, I'll see, you should see how I do it on Saturday or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just not, he don't have the place or the right to be talking to either Goldberg or Brock like that. But anyway, that's something else.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening.
We didn't even get into everything we wanted to. We'll have to save that for next time.
It was a long show. We had to play catch up. But we got a couple guests lined up. We'll be on the show here soon. We got a new intro we're about to roll out coming up probably on our 100th episode. Actually, a couple different new intros. One for this show and then one for our other shows. So just stay tuned.
It's gonna be shout out to all the beat makers out there that helped make this possible.
Yeah. We'll shout those out officially once we hear the intro. And but guys, thanks, like I said, for always listening. You can find us all on the podcast avenues, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn Radio app, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. You can also catch us, and we kind of break in news. One last week locally here. But you can get us all on the Barn Burner Podcast Network, which is all over 113 platforms. So the ones I named, yes, you can find us twice on that. But not to mention, you can also find us on a bunch of other 100 and so podcast avenues out there. Just search for Ringside Podcast, and you'll find it there under the Barn Burner app. And then there's an app. There's actually an app out there you can download, and you can get our exclusive content straight from the Barn Burner, as well as...
Yeah, it's Hall About Sports.
Hall About Sports, yeah.
.com. It's my buddy Brian Hall. He's a producer for ESPN Louisville here locally. He has created this site where all the local sports or just podcasts in general. It's not really just sports. It's a little bit of everything. There's a cooking one on there, one that's all about meat. There's some comedy ones on there. Hallaboutsports.com. You can download that on Apple iTunes or the Google Play Store.
And we have our page there, Ringside Podcast. Absolutely. So all the newer episodes will be up there. We'll go back and kind of archive and put a few more of them older best of kind of shows we like, different guests and whatnot. But for the main concept, you can always find every episode you ever want under ringsidepodcast.com. So yep. We appreciate it. You can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast, individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy_CSZ.
At Cougar Mania.
All right, guys. And so we appreciate it. Give us a like, a follow. And one of the things about this podcast is that we do interact. So when you reach out to us, we interact back, whether it's through Ringside or whether it's through our individual accounts. We do tweet back and talk back because we like the interaction with us. We got tons of stuff coming up. I know we've teased giveaways, teased different things, and we're gonna get back on track on all that.
Yeah, and we're gonna give away a date with JK too. Hopefully. Shout out to our girl Ice too. We haven't done the show in a while, so we don't want to forget about her. She's always doing big things out there.
Yeah, McAllister 8, Whitney McAllister. Shout out to Whitney.
Great follow.
Absolutely. Great follow. And she'll be in town soon, so we'll get her in here to do a show. That's going to be interesting. Anyways. All right. So thanks for listening, guys. And as always, in the meantime and between time.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
See ya.
Southern boys with the rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be next, you better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck.